It was dark, and we were in a Volkswagen Bug, and it was a lowrider, and they had a gun, and they waved it at us. Well, we're like gonna run, man. This is ridiculous. I looked up, and there's this enormous bright light. We hit that train with a tremendous force, but it didn't budge. It folded that Volkswagen like nothing. When we hit, all I could do after I felt the sound of the horn is I just yelled, Jesus. We hit that train, the impact, we get lodged underneath it, and the train's moving. So we're moving with the train in a Volkswagen, half a Volkswagen. And if you look about 50 to 100 feet, there was a telephone pole. We tried getting out. All the doors were jammed because of the impact. We couldn't get out. It was impossible. And I knew we were done. I knew it.
Hi, welcome to Touching the Afterlife. I'm excited to have with us today, Tim. You're going to hear Tim's miracles in his life. You don't want to miss this. There's incredible stories, and he's here to help others and show the way of what he went through and how God wants to be an integral part of our lives and every day, and how we can have the power of God in our life. So welcome with me today, Tim.
Hello, hi, Tim. Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
Outstanding.
Awesome.
I'm doing awesome. Beautiful day. I'm in Palm Springs, California right now. And it's as sunny as could be.
Just kind of like your picture there behind you.
Yeah.
Just warm skies. I love it. So I'm excited for you to talk today about your story, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have a heart, a message that you want to convey and what God's doing in your life. So start where you want to start, Tim.
All right. Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Tim Parney. I'm 57 years old. I grew up born and raised in northern Minnesota by the on a farm. I've had a lot of supernatural things happen to me. And what's amazing is most people have had a lot of supernatural things happen to them. They just weren't aware of it. And you have to look for it. But let me start first with when I was 15, me and two friends of mine, we lived in Phoenix, Arizona. And there's a big road that goes through Glendale and into Phoenix, and it's called Grand Avenue. And it's a four-lane highway, and the railroad tracks run along with it. So me and my friends, it was probably 8 o'clock at night, it was dark, and we were in a Volkswagen Bug, and we had our cowboy hats on because we were wannabe cowboys because we went to the rodeo. Isn't that what you do? We came up to a stoplight, and somebody pulled up against us on the left of us. And it was a lowrider, and they had a gun, and they waved it at us. Well, we're like going to run, man. This is ridiculous. So he punched it, and we tried out running him, but you couldn't because there's so many traffic lights and stop signs and pedestrians or whatever. And we finally made it to where we got to Grand Avenue, and there was no traffic light. We could go across when the traffic was good. So what we did is we timed it out to where we hesitated so that they won't be able to make it. And we were so excited because we got through the first two lanes and we're like, yes, score. Get through the second two lanes. We did it. Not a problem. Until I looked up. I looked up and there's this enormous bright light. And then as I'm looking at that, the horn of the train, and literally we're probably only 10 feet away, 5-10 feet away. And where we hit the train was right underneath the engineer, his window. His elbow was sticking out the window. And we hit that train with a tremendous force, but it didn't budge. It folded that Volkswagen like nothing. When we hit, all I could do after I felt the sound of the horn is I just yelled, Jesus. I mean, just, I didn't know what to do. So we hit that train, the impact, we get lodged underneath it, and the train's moving. So we're moving with the train in a Volkswagen, half a Volkswagen, and we're hitting every railroad tie. I mean, this is a rough ride, kind of like the rodeo. I guess it kind of be like the rodeo. So we're getting pulled down, and if you look about 50 to 100 feet, there was a telephone pole. And if we would have gotten to that telephone pole, it would have pushed us right into the train. And I knew we were done. I knew it. We tried getting out. All the doors were jammed because of the impact. We couldn't get out. It was impossible. Next thing I know, I yell Jesus again. And by the time the words were coming out my mouth, we got hit like with a sledgehammer that popped that Volkswagen out probably about 20 feet. And it was a jolt. I mean, it was more jolty than what we'd been through hitting the train. So then we were able to break the windows and get out. What's amazing is there was three of us in there. I was in the passenger seat. There was an imprint of my face on the windshield, my nose, everything. I didn't have one scratch on me, nothing. My buddies, nothing. My buddy in the back did end up getting a tiny scratch on his knee when he was crawling out the window and he cut it on the glass. That's it, man. I tell you what, that was amazing as far as how much impact and how much it could have been. And God saved us. He just always comes through. And
yeah, that's a miracle, Tim. How old were you?
15. 15 years old. Yeah. I mean, I came home and it was like, that's when it hit you, because it happened so fast. And back in the 80s, you know, you didn't have what you have now with EMS and fire and all that. We didn't even go to the hospital. We didn't even get checked. The police gave us a ride home about an hour and a half after it happened. And we had no cell phones. I couldn't call my mom and dad, nothing. It was just a different thing. But yeah, it was amazing. I literally got to feel the power that was undescribable. But man, when I was 18, that is when I would call the biggest miracle of my entire life. I mean, I was 18 years old. I graduated high school, had never had a clue of what I wanted to do in life. Everybody'd always ask you, oh, what are you going to be? I don't know. I'll be a husband and a good father. How's that? I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it, but that's what it's going to do. So I'm 18, working at a teddy bear lamp. We made teddy bear lamps. And we just got insurance, health insurance. So they wanted us to go in and get a baseline so that they would have a baseline on. So I went in for a physical, and it was probably, 20, 30 minutes of just doing all the regular physical stuff. And he goes, oh, I'm done. And he goes, do you have any questions? And I said, yeah, I do have one question. I said, on my left hip, every time I wear a belt, it like rubs it raw. And I don't know why that is. Oh, okay. No problem. So I drop my pants and he looks and he's like, oh my. And then he runs and goes, gets camera. I'm like, what? Why are you doing that? So he goes and gets the camera and he's so serious and scared. And he goes, we're going to hook you up with a really good tumor specialist. And I'm like, tumor, what is going on? So I went to that next appointment. It was about a week and a half later. And I met with him and he did the same thing, exact same thing. I dropped my pants right there. He gets his camera. He's like, oh, man. And I'm still trying to figure out, because I've never had any pain or anything. It never disabled me in any way. So I'm sitting there in there, and he goes, okay. He goes, I've seen enough. And he goes, we're going to set up an appointment next week, and I want your mom and dad to come. And I'm like, mom and dad? Why do I need my mom and dad? And he goes, you need to bring your mom and dad. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm 18. I don't need to bring my mom and dad. I'm an adult. That's what I thought. So I thought, man, I'm not going to bring my mom. Ooh, I bring my mom. She might freak out. She might lay down right here. So I'll bring my dad. He's pretty tough. He'll just take it in. No big deal. So we go back to the appointment and the doctor sits down with us and says, yeah, we just want you to know that. And I did tests. I also did other tests and they found out it was a tumor the size of a grapefruit that was lodged in back of my pelvis bone on my left hip. And, he goes, yep, we got to take it out. Back then they just take everything out. So I'm like, okay, we'll do that. And he goes, Now, I want you to understand that this is very serious. You might lose your leg. You might lose your life. We don't know what this is attached to. Whatever it's attached to, we're taking out, period. I'm like, oh, okay. When you're 18, man, you do not have the same thinking as you do when you get old. So we ended up, had the surgery. We had the surgery, and it was a major surgery. I was cut open about 16 inches on my whole hip. They opened up the whole thing. It was huge. Got done with the surgery. Doctor comes in, successful, shows me the tumor. And it's round, exactly like a grapefruit. And they cut it open, and it had growth rings, which is really bizarre. They'd never seen anything like that. It's at ASU right now, Arizona State University. I let them have it. But I knew going into this that it was going to be okay. It was the most trusting and easy thing to do. I even went up the day before my surgery in my Jeep, and my Jeep was basically my girlfriend. And I wanted to go up on a mountain and really pray to God like Moses, or you know, make it more sincere, I thought. So I went four-wheeling, and I went up this hill that I'd never made before, and I got so excited because I was able to make it. And I did pray, but I thought about it, and I'm like, God, I don't feel like I need to beg for anything. I feel like you've got me covered and that everything's going to be okay, but I don't understand it. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I went back forward, had the surgery, got done. About 6 to 8 weeks later, 8 weeks at least, about 8 weeks, I was laying in my bedroom. And this was so incredible. Okay, so I want you to picture this, okay? I'm laying in bed at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I wake up, and when I wake up, it is not like, oh, I'm getting up. No, this was like I had every amount of energy that I could handle. I even told myself, I'm like, what is going on? This is so weird. I feel like there's electricity in the air. That's what it felt like. All of a sudden, I hear these footsteps, and I'm like, oh, doggone, mom's coming in to pray for me again. I'm going to pretend I'm asleep. I'm just going to, yeah, turn the other way and just let her come in and do it, and that's great. I have no problem with that. I had the best parents in the entire world. But I'm laying there, and I hear my door open, and I know she's coming. Hear my door shut, hear the steps walk next to my bed, and I'm like, yep. All of a sudden, a hand touches my head. Now, when this hand touched my head, I felt the hand, but the power that went through me is the only way I could describe it, is like the filament of a light bulb where all the light comes out of it, but all the power goes in it. I was that filament. I felt like I had every power in the entire universe moving through me. And I freaked out. I'll be totally honest, man. I freaked out. I was like, in my head, I was blown away. My heart was beating so fast. I just had no idea what was going on. And all of a sudden, a voice, and his precious voice, do not fear, I am here. When he said that, I instantly had no more chest pain, no more physical pain at all. I was like, I could see every part of the room from every angle. I could ask any question. Before I could get the question out, I knew the answer. So I decided, ooh, I'm going to travel around the room a little bit. And I did. I went underneath my bed, and I went up through my bed, through the wood slat. I went through the wood slat. And when I went through the wood slat, I knew exactly where that tree came from. I knew where the seed came from. I knew where the seed came from, the plant that did that tree. I knew everything about that tree, every single person that ever touched it, that piece of wood or anything related to it. And I'm just.
Tim, did you have, you were in the spirit realm, you were having an out of body experience, or can you, what happened with that?
You know, yeah, you could say that. I don't know exactly what it was. I'm just describing kind of like everything that was entailed in it, because I was, like I said, when I went through that wood, I knew exactly everything about it. The metal I went through, I knew where it was ored. I knew everything from the beginning about it. And I just was in this realm. I couldn't even tell you how long. I just enjoyed it. I was in blissful peace that was beyond anything that I could ever comprehend. And when I look back in the room at myself, as far as like all I could see was his hand, one hand was in the air and one hand was on my head. And it sounded like he was praying, but it was in a language I had no clue about. I could not understand it. Wow.
So this was Jesus coming into your room.
Yes.
And you saw with your spiritual eyes, you felt like you were physically out of your body observing this.
Yes. And he was so bright. He was so bright. All you could do is see a silhouette. The brightness was so, and it was so warm. It was really warm. But, when he got done, when he took his hand off my head, instantly, I was in pain. My heart was beating a million times a minute. And everything was all back to normal. Heard the footsteps. He's so polite. Opens the door, closes the door, and walks off. And I'm shaking in the bed like a little baby until I could see daylight because I was scared. I just couldn't, my head could not wrap around what just happened. And I thought, surely that was my mom just coming in to pray and I had a big experience or something. I don't know. Wake up the next morning and I go into my mom's room. Hey, mom, how's it going? Thanks for coming in and praying for me. I appreciate that. She goes, I didn't come in and pray for you. I had a great night of sleep. I said, well, if that's the case, I have something to talk to you about. it's so exciting. And the best part about it was I went to my doctor's appointment about 3 weeks after, two, 3 weeks after. And this guy is he's Asian. He didn't speak a lot of English. It was broken. And I went to my appointment and my mom was in the waiting room and he goes, how are you feeling? I said, man, I'm feeling outstanding. It's so good. I said, there's no way that I'm going to need the handicap plate you gave me. I just don't need it no more. And he goes, Tim, he's like, you have no clue what I did to you. He goes, Tim, let me explain to you what had happened in that surgery. We removed everything that was attached to that tumor, including your main muscle on your left hip that goes down your leg. And he goes, we took a lot more than that out. And he goes, but because I took that muscle out, you can never grow a new muscle. You can only build muscle. You can't grow a new muscle. What you get from birth is what you get. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I'll prove it to you. Stand up. So I stood up. And he goes, take your left leg and move it to the side. He goes, you will not be able to. And I'm like, huh. So I got up, stood up, my left leg, I moved it all the way up. He freaked out. Freaked out is not, I'm being very kind. He really got upset to the point where he was yelling and screaming so much that my mom was in the waiting room, concerned, like, what is going on? And he related to us that we were supposed to grab all our paperwork and never come back and see him again. We are not welcome in that office. Okay.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know why, but it maybe he thought malpractice or something because it's all documented that it came out. I don't know. Really interesting. But after that, after having had that happen to me, all of that little experience, I felt so like I wanted to give God everything, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
It just really, really made me realize that, because growing up in church and stuff, I knew God, I prayed. I've had awesome spiritual experiences. Even as a little kid, I was very intuitive to it. And man, that was an incredible, incredible experience that changed my life. And after that had happened, I met my wife shortly after that and we dated and I knew I had a calling as far as that. So I thought, oh, I'll go to Bible college. that's what we'll do. Go to Bible college. So I went to Rhema Bible College in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And right before I went, my first year, I'd already started dating my wife. So that was hard. Because she wasn't my wife yet, but I knew she was going to be. And we knew I'd have to go and do this. So I went ahead and went to Bible college. And the second year, I was going back for my second year. And I put my application in and did all that. I drove my Jeep all the way to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma from Phoenix, Arizona. And I get there and I'm sitting in class and all of a sudden I hear my name on the intercom. And I'm like, what? In the principal's office. The dean's office. So I go into the dean's office and he's like, Tim, I've been looking over your application. I'm like, oh, cool. He's like, yeah, I see you you drank some beer while you were on leave. Yes, I did. I had a few beers at the rodeo. But I wanted to be honest and tell you the truth. But I mean, I haven't done it since then or anything. And he goes, well, we're going to have to ask you to leave. And I'm like, leave the office? Nope. Leave the premises. So, and he was so good about it because he didn't want to do it, but he just felt he had to. And it was all God, the whole thing. It's so incredible. And when I left, I knew, he even told me, Tim, there's something so incredibly special for you that's going to happen to you before you come back and do your second year. And it was my wife. We got married. So my second year, we'd been married for, I forget how long, but we had a baby coming. And we were going to do the second year at Rhema. And we had Krista, our youngest daughter, there at, what was the name of that? City of Hope. Yeah, or Roberts University. But what an incredible, incredible time there. We had a lot of fun. And as my life progressed, you know, we tried getting into churches. And our first church, we got the youth group up to about the size. Got the youth group up to about the size of the congregation. And they came to us and said that our services are no longer needed. And they believed in what we were doing, just they didn't want to do it right there at church. So I said, okay, we brought too many sinners in. That's what they told us. One of the people actually told us, one of the board members, brought too many sinners in. I'm thinking in my head, well, then everything that I learned is kind of wrong. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? But so we continued on trying to be ministers. We flew all the way to North Carolina, me and my wife, on a visitation that we were going to be youth pastors. Well, that was a very eye-opening experience because the minister, I mean, they didn't even show up to pick us up at the airport for 2 or 3 hours. When we got there, it was all about I don't want to talk bad. It was not at all what it was supposed to be. And on our way back, the pastor and his wife were driving in their car. And the pastor goes, so have you guys thought about the position? And we're like, yeah, we're just going to go and pray about it. And he goes, well, sometimes if that door is cracked open, you need to kick it open. And you'll get to know my wife. My wife goes, yeah, you kick the door open and the devil might be behind it. Well, he got very offended. We're on the freeway in between Georgia and North Carolina. He pulls over, opens the trunk, gets all our luggage out, and kicks us out on the freeway. And we're like, how could that even be? Why would you do that? And thank God there was one of his congregation that was driving him back, and they saw what happened, and they pulled over, and they gave us a ride to the airport. I was like flabbergasted. So we really tried getting involved with churches. You know what I mean? And we found out it was all religion. There was no love. There was no compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness, judgment. No. I knew I wanted to get into the ministry or whatever, you help people. That's all I want. It's all about spirit, that everything is spirit, not religion. So during this time in my life, for the next 30 years or whatever, I became a firefighter. I became a firefighter medic. And we'd go to church sometimes. Not all. When we had our kids younger, we did more church. And then as the kids got older, we just haven't done that much church. But during that time, I got involved with everything else. You know what I mean? If your eyes ain't on focused on God, they tend to go somewhere else. And that's what I did. You know, I got caught up in being a firefighter and I thought I was doing good because I was helping save lives. But I didn't pray much. I didn't read the Bible, you know, and it just kept going, getting worse. So when I was done with my fire career, or towards the end, me and my wife and her family, we done businesses together, and we've had so many businesses, everything from a pizza place, print shop, video stores, you know, you name it, we did it. And about 2008 or 9, we moved to Alabama, and we were near Talladega, and we decided to open up it was just going to be a restaurant they could serve beer because it was an old bar, is actually what we bought. And we opened up that, and it ended up turning into pretty much a sports bar and a nightclub. Well, you know, I got caught up in that as far as I was drinking, and I got caught up in, you know, the typical pills, you know, all of it. And that got pretty low. You know what I mean? It really affected our marriage. It affected everything. And finally, we just said, forget it. We're leaving. And we left. And about 6-7 years ago, I was on my back deck. And that's when I totally gave in to God. Man, I was bawling like a baby on that back deck because I'm tired of it. I just wanted life. There's more to life than that. There has to be. After I'd done that, I could tell there was a difference. I mean, I no longer wanted alcohol. I mean, I just, like, out of the blue, no, I don't want it. I got rid of it. Never wanted that. Stopped taking pills. Didn't even try. I mean, I had no desire for it. Do you know what I mean? It was, people think that, oh man, you got to go to God. You got to fight to give up stuff and everything. And that's not how he works. A lot of times we don't realize that. And we have our way of thinking at it, our perception, and it's not the right perception. God,
you know, he's a jealous God. That's what I think of. And he's so patient. For what, 30 years, you kind of did your own thing, and he put him on the back burner. He doesn't.
I was that guy, that one of the 99, I think, because we got pretty far. You know what I mean? It just is crazy.
I just have to say, your story, it reminds me of my husband. He had a similar situation where the Lord came to him on his back deck, and his life was changed, and he was freed from alcohol, the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was so profound. I mean, it was like that dedication right then and there. I knew my life would change, but I had no clue. And that's where these last 6 years have been unbelievable for me and my wife spiritually. Oh my gosh. And since then, of course, our spiritual life has totally taken off. But I want to let you know what happened. It'll be 3 years, June 30th, this June 30th. It'll be 3 years. I had a heart attack, and not just a heart attack. I had the big one. I had the widowmaker. The widowmaker is where your large artery that comes up through your heart is the largest one. That gets totally clogged. So no blood perfuses through your body at all. You die. It's only a 6% to 10% chance you live. That's it. Well, one day, me and my wife were driving back from my daughter's house, and it was in the middle of the day, like 3 p.m. And all of a sudden, I got to a stop sign, and my chest was like, oh, that's a different feeling. I never felt that. And what's crazy is here I'm a paramedic, and I've been on literally hundreds of chest pains, and I couldn't figure out that I was having a heart attack. I'm like, oh, no, that's impossible. I'm thinking in my head, how could I ever have a heart attack? I don't know. So we're driving, and I go about another mile, and I'm like, okay, this feeling is getting way worse. I finally got to the point where I had to pull over, and I thought I could walk it off. I know that. I thought I could walk it off, so I got out of my truck, and I'm walking, and my wife's chasing me, telling me, gotta call 911, gotta call 911, and I'm like, it's okay, I'm coming. And then all of a sudden, I'm not kidding, I was walking down this wash because I was trying to get away from everything for some reason, and the wash was deep. So I'm walking down that wash, and literally, it's like this voice inside of me says, turn around now. And it wasn't something that you did not listen to. Immediately, I turned around, and I'm thinking in my head, why am I going back? Go back. So I go back, and this wash is about 15 feet deep. And I don't even know how I got up the 15 feet. My wife was in back of me, and she swears that I was being pushed. She goes, there's no way. She tried getting up it. Normally, it was very difficult. I literally walked like nothing. And that's when the fire and the ambo came. And I, from the time we called 911 to the time that I was in the surgery was 1 hour and 15 minutes. It was a miracle. They just got done with a patient at the ER for doing a stent. So they had the room already and the doctor was there, like totally ready. The timing was impeccable. I was in the whole time this is happening, I knew it was going to be okay. I never, ever stressed. I just had this overwhelming peace that everything was going to be, everybody freaking out around me. When I say they were freaking out, when we got into the ER, I'm sitting there, because the first few doses of medication, it didn't even affect the pain. The pain was so hard. And then they finally gave me something to where I could relax a little bit, but it was still the pressure. And I'm laying in the bed talking to my wife, but everybody's just like in panic mode. And the nurse comes to the foot of my bed. Do you not know you are having the big one? I'm like, whoa, chill out. I'm thinking, relax, it's going to be okay. And I actually made it through there. And the entire time the surgeon was doing his work in me, I talked to him the whole time. He's like, he said, I've never had anybody do this. And he goes, now I'm going to show you the blockage. It was completely blocked. And he goes, watch it, watch it. He goes, 3, 2, 1. And he hits it and it explodes instantly. I had no clue that I was lacking blood until that second. And it felt like electricity was going through your entire, but you could feel it going all the way through your body. Wherever the blood hit, you could feel it. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. That was really wild. And that heart attack, we were there and they did tests, and I was only at, my heart pumped out only at 20%. I was in heart failure. They wanted to put me on the list for a new heart. And I was a little puzzled, like, wow, I didn't think it'd be that bad. I thought God would have made it, a little better than that. But I stayed in the hospital. And when I got out, I had to wear a vest that monitored me and that could also shock me if my heart stopped. And until I could, because they wanted to get a pacemaker in me so that they could get my heart volume. So it was probably three months of wearing that. And of course I'm living my life and doing what I'm supposed to and just enjoying God. And it was about 3 months. I went in for my test, and when the test came back for my output of my heart, I was at 55%, which normal human is 50% to 70. That is normal. So I was in the normal range. I'd been healed. Mm. The doctors were like, this doesn't happen. not like that. And that miracle allowed me to be able to continue what God wanted done. And that's why he created all of us. You know, we all have a mission for him to complete, as far as in a good way. It's not like something we have to work for. We don't have to work for it. It's all natural.
So these miracles, this huge miracle, this huge heart attack and recovery was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, tell us about what your heart is, what your mission is. What do you feel like you're finally coming into that purpose that God created you for?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And it is funny that it took that long, but man, you know, the passion that me and my wife have for people is unlimited. We ran in California some years ago. We ran right before COVID. We were managers at a mobile home park. We had about 200 units in there. And right when COVID came out and they shut down all the grocery stores and stuff, me and Gina, my wife, we thought, oh my gosh, we need to be able to try get the elderly some food, because it was back when we had to go in lines. You waited outside the store and they only let six people in the store at a time. So we thought, oh, there's no way they'd be able to get food. So we started collecting some food that we had. And then Gina decided to go on Facebook and send that out, that we were needing help. And we started out with 12 bags of groceries. And within 2 months, we were doing approximately 8,000 pounds of food a week for the park, so that we could help feed everybody in the entire park. God just opened up the doors. And we did this for a year and a half. Wow. We would bring that much food to help the people. And it was the easiest thing in the world. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. God, he's so awesome, because I didn't have to search or even, and when I say search, I didn't have to feel like it was all on me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the need was there and you filled it, you and your wife. And I love that you guys are on this mission together. So I know you wanted me to have her come on as well, if you want to bring Gina with you as we close and you guys can share. Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Gina.
Nice to meet you guys. And a little bit about Maya, I just wanted to go back because you probably heard me talking over there. I was so excited. He was on track way faster than I was. Like, I was still caught up in the whole religion thing and being hurt in church and all that stuff. But when he had his heart attack and I saw that God healed him, I rededicated my life back to God. And everything I do now, I just want to do for God and help people. I just want to give back a percentage of what he's done for us. And he does for everybody. It's not just us. He's there for anybody and everybody that wants it. You just got to accept it.
And you know, yeah. A big part of it is you got to know who you are as a person and what you are. And the only way you could do that is through God. He's everything. He shows us everything. He's taught me everything. Literally. He talks to me inside all the time. And that's what he's for all of us. He's not away. Yes. He's in.
Amen. And I love that you guys are on the same page together. And what a mighty force for God you both are now.
Oh, this is going to be so huge.
share with us.
Yeah. And that book is going to be a book about my testimonies and how to just get to know the Father and our Creator. You know what I mean? And yeah. But now what I want to show is I want to be able to do a little bit of science in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just for instance, you know how many thoughts you have a day? About 80,000. Yeah. 80,000. No big deal. You have 80,000 thoughts. Out of those 80,000 thoughts, 80% of them are positively negative. So you have 62,000 thoughts running through your head that are negative. And that's all from the subconscious and everything. But this is what you have to deal with as a human. You have to deal with that negativity. And you got to be able to just put it off. And the only way you can do that is knowing that Jesus is right there with you. And I mean, there's so many different things that have to go along with us as humans and how we are. We're created. We are so special. Every flower is even special when you actually break it down to how it actually functions. It's God is all around everything. He is everything. And okay. We're just going to be putting out the word that I believe healing is going to be a huge part of our part, because what he's given to me, I get to help give.
And we desire that. That's a big thing, is anybody could have it. You just have to desire it and seek it and want to work for
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is no 1, 2, 3 step.
Yeah. It's
all it is just one step. And he gave us a gift. And I love the way my wife describes it. He gave us a gift, a Christmas gift that never stops giving. And it's gift. Wait, you don't have to earn it.
I feel like he gives everybody in the world the same present. And it's your part to open it up and to
look into it.
Yes.
And grab all the awesomeness that's in it. Because, man, I tell you what's happening in our world right now has never happened before. We're at a time where God's opened up our way of learning so much more clear. I mean, you look at NDEs alone. What a wide opening experience to hear somebody tell those testimonies of going to heaven.
Although I have to say, I'm so glad he didn't have an NDE with a heart attack. I was praying the whole time, please God, don't let him pass out. Please God, don't let him pass out. Because then I thought, I'm going to lose it if he passes out. And even the doctors were like, you're the first one that has ever gone through this that stayed awake. And I feel like God did that for me, because that was pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, again, you guys have a very special ministry and anointing. And I love that, the gifts that he gives us. And we just have to know that there's so many gifts, right, that we could just open.
Yes.
And Absolutely. He wants to use us all. So tell me a little bit about the foundation. And then from there, if you guys can pray us out, I would love that.
We named it the Firm Foundation because his firm foundation, because we believe everything should start with a firm foundation, like helping people out. We want to get them on their feet, a foundation for them.
And this will be used for everything we do. For this is going to be for the homeless, women that have lots of children that are single, battered women, anything. It all goes to the crying people of the world. And the book that I'm going to be writing is going to be given away. I will never charge for any book that I write, and I'll be writing a lot. And God's placed it on my heart. He told me from the very beginning, he said, Tim, when you do this, you never charge a dime. He goes, I give you this, you give them that. And I'm like, I can do that. That's not a problem. And how we're going to exactly do it, we don't know all the details. But that's what's so awesome. I don't have to stress.
We don't have to worry. We just pray and let God lead the way.
And he's opening the doors. And with you, what a tremendous blessing you are. You guys, Dave and Julie, I just lift you up and I thank you that you are obedient in what you're doing, because you're changing lives.
Yep.
You're changing thousands and thousands of lives. And I just thank you for that. That's incredible.
Thank you. Glory to God. You know, this is our heart, and I believe you share that same heart. And I think of the scripture. Is it James 1? In James, where it talks about, you know, undefiled religion is helping the widows and the homeless and the poor.
Yes.
And that's the heart of God. And you are doing the ministry of Jesus. And so.
And that's what makes us happy. That's our happy place, is helping people.
Yes.
That's
what
we love to do.
You know what we did is the last 4 months, we got a job at Walmart as cashiers. We both of us, so we could work together. So the way we look at it is, we're one. I'll make $16 an hour. She'll make $16. We make $32 an hour.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are
it wasn't the money.
Say that, because by the end of the day, we pretty much pay for our groceries and stuff.
But it wasn't for the money. It was for the experience
and to get to know people.
Oh my God!
The community and
the people we met at Walmart.
Unbelievable.
I'm so impressed with when your desire is to say, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to meet people and I'm going to make it work. Man, when you go in with the right attitude, people change.
We
had healings there.
Yep.
We had people get healed there.
In Walmart every day before we prayed for the Holy Spirit to guide us, fill us with the Holy Spirit and anything he needed us to say to somebody that he would, and he did. I mean, I'd be standing right there and I'd have to pray for somebody that was
in the cashier line,
and they would accept it. And it was,
I mean, that's not the first story I've heard of miracles in Walmart.
That's
pretty cool.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, guys, let's pray because this is amazing and I'm excited and I want all of our viewers to join in on this prayer because I believe that God wants to touch people through the Holy Spirit.
Oh, he does. Yes.
So.
Heavenly Father, man, you are so awesome. I know I tell you every day that you blow me away and it's still you're blowing me away. That's all you do. You are so awesome, God, and I thank you that you've given us this opportunity with Dave and Julie and all the people, all of you people that are out there. I just want to let you know that God loves you so much. You are the apple of his eye, man. Your potential is unlimited, unlimited. We are so created, so special, so, so special. Please, please go and search. Search. He will show you everything. Your life will change. I mean, your life is going to totally change. You'll love living life. You'll love living on earth. And Father, man, I'm so excited about what you're doing. And I just pray that you would help all of us and guide us and angels go before us and prepare the way.
Yes.
And thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.